The epistle for today, the first Sunday after Easter, Low Sunday, taken from the first epistle of St. John. Beloved, all that is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is there that overcomes the world, if not he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came in water and in blood, in Jesus Christ. Not in the water only, but in the water and the blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness that Christ is the truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three are one. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, which is greater, that he has borne witness concerning his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the testimony of God in himself. Please stand for the gospel to take it from that of St. John. At that time, when it was late that same day, the first of the week, those in the house where the disciples gathered had been closed for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples He therefore said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." When he had said this, he breathed upon them, and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Ghost. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them, and whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the Twin, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being closed, and stood in their midst, and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Bring here thy finger, and see my hands, and bring here thy hand, and put it into my side. And be not unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed." Many other signs also Jesus worked in the sight of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Begin with the prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. In 1922 and 1923, in a convent in Poitiers, France, something extraordinary happened. It happened to an obscure Spanish sister that was at this convent. This sister received a message from our Blessed Lord for the entire world. Now, this is one of the messages which has been approved by the church. I just want to make that clear. There are a number of things out there. The rest has been given. This one's been approved. Okay, so in fact, Pope Pacelli, I say Pope Pacelli, he became venerable Pope Pius XII, but Cardinal Pacelli at the time, he approved and the publication of this book, his appeal to the Sacred Heart of Jesus to the world. So, our Lord gave a message, and we're going to hear part of that message this morning. Our Lord said to Sister Jose Menendez, the entire world, quote, "I thirst for the salvation of souls. Let souls come to me. Let souls not fear me. Let souls have confidence in me. I am all love. I cannot treat with severity the souls that I love so much. And although it is true that I love them all, I have among them my chosen ones. I have chosen them to console me and to fill them with my sweetest caresses. Their miseries don't matter, and I want them to know that after they have fallen in some weakness, if they have humbled themselves and cast themselves into my heart, I
forgive them and love them with more tenderness than before. Do you not know that the more miserable a soul is, the more I love it? He went on to say, in the midst of this great misery, a soul can love me to folly. But understand well, Josefa, that I refer not to false commitment, deliberation, and premeditation, but rather to those that stem from weakness and inadvertence. Our Lord made this appeal, and he made this appeal through the Bishop of Poitiers. He used the proper channels, interestingly enough, made sure the bishop approved it and disseminated it. And he said, continuing his appeal to the entire world, I am all love. My heart is an abyss of love. Love made me create man and all that exists in the world for his service. Love made the Father give his Son to save mankind lost through sin. Love caused that pure virgin, renouncing the charms of hidden life in the temple, should consent to be the mother of God and accept the sufferings of the divine eternity. I am love. My heart cannot contain the flame which constantly devours me. I love souls to the point that I have given my life for them. For love of them, I have willed to remain a prisoner in the tabernacle. And for 20 centuries, I have remained there, night and day, hidden under the appearances of bread, hidden in the host, enduring through love forgetfulness, solitude, contempt, blasphemies, outrages, and sacrilegious. Love of souls caused me to leave to them the sacrament of penance to forgive them. Not one time or two, but rather however many times they need to recover grace. There I await them. There I desire them to come to wash them from their sins, not with water, but with my own blood. In return for the love which I have for souls, I ask of them that they return love to me. But this is not my only desire. I want them to believe in my mercy, to hope for all from my goodness, that they do not doubt my pardon. I am a God, but a God of love. I am a father, but a father who loves with tenderness, not with severity. My heart is infinitely holy, but is also infinitely wise. I know human weakness and misery. And I stoop down to poor sinners with infinite mercy. Yes, I love souls after they have committed their first sin if they come to humbly ask pardon. I love them after they weep for their second sin. And if this repeats not a thousand times, but a million thousand times, I love them, pardon them, wash them with my same blood the last sin as the first sin. I do not tire of souls, and my heart is always waiting for them to come and take refuge in me. All the more miserable they are. It is so easy to hope for all from my heart. Today we're celebrating a great feast. Today's the Feast of Divine Mercy. Although this happened through another revelation of Christ to another Holy Sister, some may doubt that a feast of mercy is necessary. Some may think, you emphasize mercy too much. This is going to obscure the sense of God's divine justice. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm in no hurry for God's divine justice. Those who say that the feast of divine mercy is going to obscure the sense of justice don't really understand what mercy is. Okay, what mercy is, it doesn't do away with justice. It pays the debt of justice. Okay? But then as St. Thomas says, it goes beyond that and pays so much more. It gives us so much more than we could have expected if just justice were fulfilled. It goes beyond that and it grants total pardon to those sinners that are repentant. Notice that it's to the repentant sinners. We have to be sorry for our sins. And that doesn't mean just feeling bad, okay? Even if that emotion isn't there, if we truly regret our sin, we want to undo that sin, and we do not want to repeat the sin, that is repentance, sin. And to those of us sinners who have the humility to ask for forgiveness according to the plan of our Lord, which is left in the Gospel today, John 20, verse 23, forgiveness of sins through his ministers, to the priest, in the sacrament of confession of sins to a priest. To us that have, to us sinners that have the confidence to believe that forgiveness is possible to even the greatest sinner that repents of his sin, God offers this unfathomable mercy. So, our Lord didn't deny that some would not accept this mercy. Some would not humble themselves to make a good confession. He's realistic, and he said there. In fact, he said, Sister Josefa, poor souls. Yes, it is true that there are many that do not know me, but the number of those is greater who, knowing me, have despised me to follow a life of pleasure. There are so many sensual souls, not only in the world, but also among my chosen ones, who desire to enjoy this. And in that way, they are lost. For my way is one of suffering at the cross. The only thing that gives the strength to follow is love. For this reason, I seek love. Our Lord went on to say, so many sins, and how many souls will fall into hell this night? How much my heart suffers, seeing that all I have done is useless for these souls. Poor souls, how many have been lost forever? Yes, souls do not accept the plea of God to come to his mercy, because they have a free will. We all do. But our Lord's calling out to those souls. He doesn't want them to use their free will to turn away from him, the true Father. He said to them, appealing to those people who didn't even know Christ, he said these words, quote, I will speak first to those who do not know me. You do not know me because no one taught you to know me as a child. And as you were growing in age, the inclinations of the nature with vices also grew in you. The love of pleasures, the desire for delights, for freedom, for riches. One day you heard that to live under my law it is necessary to put up with your neighbor, to love him, respect his rights, his goods, that it is necessary to control one's own passions. And as you live giving over to your wishes, to your bad habits, not knowing what the law taught, you protested, saying, I do not want any other law than what I want. I want to enjoy myself. I want to be free. That is how you began to hate me, to persecute me. But I, who am your Father, I love you with an infinite love. And while you rebelled blindly and persisted in the desire to destroy me, my heart filled more and more with tenderness towards you. Today I cannot constrain any longer the impulse of my love, and to see you living in continual war with the one who loves you so much, I come to tell you myself who I am. My beloved Son, I am Jesus, and this name means Savior. For this reason my hands are pierced with the nails which subjected me to the cross, on which I died for one of you. My feet bear the same signs, and my heart is open because of the lance which they plunged into it after my death. I come to you this way to show you who I am and what is my law. Do not fear, it is a law of love. And when you know me, you find rest and joy. It is so sad to live an orphan. Come, poor sons, come to be with your Father. Close the book, our blessed Lord. Our Lord is looking for an excuse to save us. He's a gentleman and he doesn't force himself. I've said that before, and it's true. He's not going to force our will, but he's looking for an excuse to save us. He's made it so easy that all we have to do is go and tell our sins to a priest who is bound under the seal not to repeat what he hears in confession, and he forgets about it anyway, regardless, and doesn't know who's on the other side. He's bound by the seal because if he reveals anything, he gets kicked out of the church. Whether anyone else knows it or not, he knows it. If he's revealed anything in confession, any connecting sin to the sinner, he can
kicked out of the church automatically. The priest isn't even saying anything. So all I have to do is tell a designated minister of the church, following the plan of John 20, verse 23, the one designated by the church to whom we confess can declare whether our sins are near or not, and our sins are gone. Peace is restored to the soul. True joy is found. Not the joy that the world offers, that passes like that. True joy, true peace, true rest. How many desire that in society and don't find it? Let none fear. Let all approach to confess and receive the peace of divine pardon. Our Lord told St. Faustina, to whom he revealed the divine mercy devotion, he said that on this day, this Sunday, we're talking about the Sunday after Easter Sunday, on this day the vows of divine mercy are open. The soul that confesses and receives Holy Communion on this day will obtain total pardon of sins and of their punishment. Now that's huge, because the punishment, that's including the purgatory time. Okay? That's huge. That's why we're in the confessional right now, and that's why we're in the confession state. Our Lord said this, we receive total pardon. He says, let no soul fear to approach me, although his sin has been like scarlet. I want the image of divine mercy to be venerated publicly, so that each soul can know it. So we've set the image of divine mercy up here, so each can venerate it publicly. We cited the chapter before. Holy Mass today, we invite all to come to confession, receive the pardon of our blessed Lord and His mercy. Don't count the souls that our Lord speaks of. If any grave sin, purity, whatever the sins are, any sin, any grave sin, come to confession, get washed in the blood of our Lord, you receive pardon, mercy, and happiness. May God bless you and may our name the rosary. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.